Well, good morning. It's truly an honor and it is truly a pleasure to be here this morning. As it's already been mentioned, we are truly grateful and we are very joyful to have our guests amongst us in our audience. We once more humbly ask you, please do not go home without sharing your contact information with us. We want to get to know you, but we also want you to get to know us so that together we can fellowship in spirit and in truth. You will please bow with me in prayer as we begin our day of worship. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, once more we come to Thy throne of grace. Father, we are grateful for the blessings that You have poured upon us during this day, so that we, Father, together can be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. As we begin, Father, now this portion of worship in which we, Lord, sit at Thy feet to listen to the instructions from Thy holy word, please, Lord, allow us to be able to focus, to be able to put on hold the woes of this life, that, Father, our mind may be fully focused on You and on the lessons, Lord, that You want us to extract from Your holy word. But grant us the boldness, Father, and the love so that we may apply them in our daily living, and that everything that we do, Father, in word or in deed, may always be done in accordance to Thy Son's commandment as You have instructed us. Forgive us, Father, for our sins, and please forgive me, Father, for mine. Grant me the strength, Lord, to rise from those stumbles, to rise when I've fallen, so that I may continue, Father, to fight the good fight. And that, Lord, my example may always, Father, speak more loudly than the words that I am about to share. We thank You, Father, and we ask this in the glorious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Indeed, the journey we've been taking in the letter of Romans has been a beautiful one. And as we've already seen, now we are in chapter 10, as our brother Braylon has already read. As we now enter into our lesson, we want to ask the question of why have we titled it Directing or Redirecting the Directionless? We started last Sunday with looking at chapter 9, in which the Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 3 speaks about the fact that those who have rejected Christ and His gospel are accursed. Those who have chosen to not heed the words of God's word find themselves without direction. And in chapter 10, as you've already heard, we see that Paul once more, for a second time, laments deeply. He grieves deeply for the condition of Israel. Even though they had God's word, even though they had God's law, even though they had the prophets who came and spoke to them, here in chapter 10, we see that they still found themselves lost. They found themselves without direction. Now that the law of Moses was no longer in effect, now that Christ had nailed it to the cross, where do we go from here? They were trying to follow a map that had been outdated. They were trying to continue to find the path that led to salvation, not wanting to accept that the route had changed, or rather was now updated and had been renewed. Never did the law of Moses bring them to salvation, which is what brings the question as to why they would believe this. But we will see that tonight. You see, this morning what we are seeing is how the Apostle Paul in chapter 10 makes an aim and tries to redirect his brethren, his kinsmen, who were clearly lost in their thoughts and in their opinions. If you go back to Romans chapter 10, pay attention to verse 3 and what the Apostle Paul points out. He says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted." Now, this is an interesting statement, because in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul states that indeed they had zeal. That word zeal means fervor. It means ardor. They were passionate about wanting to follow the law of Moses. They were passionate about the promises that Abraham had received. But the problem was that their passion was misplaced. It was misleading and it was misdirecting them. It was misdirecting them because their passion wasn't in obeying and fulfilling God's commandments. Their passion was in receiving the promises that they so coveted for so long. Thus, as we begin to understand, pay attention to the thing that the first thing that Paul does in our first point of our lesson is, he tells them, you're lost. You know, we've mentioned this before throughout the time here, but how often does the wife have that duty to tell the husband, we're lost? No, I'm just taking the shortcut. We're lost. What do you mean I'm lost? It means you don't know where we're going and we're lost. You see, the first thing that needs to be done to redirect those who have no direction, the directionless, is we have to point out, you're lost. You have no idea where you're going. You don't understand where you're headed. You are not taking any shortcuts. You are not finding a better route. You are not taking the scenic route. Point blank, you're lost. You are walking without direction. You are driving without knowing where you are headed and what lies ahead. Notice that Paul brings that out here. He points out to the fact that they were being ignorant of God's righteousness. This has been the theme throughout the entire letter. Justification, being forgiven of sins, finding ourselves in a right standing with God. They were lost because in the map that they were using, it never led to God's grace. It pointed, verse 4, to Christ, who is the end of the law of righteousness, for righteousness to everyone who believes. You see, the maps that the patriarchs used and that the Jews under the Mosaic system used, those maps always ended back to Jesus. They always led to Jesus for righteousness' sake. In other words, it was leading us to the one who could provide the propitiation. It was leading us to the one who could solve the sin problem. But the map itself was never leading us to, proverbially speaking, the fountain of life. Because in the law, whether it was the natural law or whether it's the Mosaic law, there was never, as we've stated throughout this entire series, a solution for sin. There was never justification within the law. The purpose of the law was always to say, verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. See, when you think about it from this perspective, the law was very simple. The law simply said, do this, and if you do it, you are obedient. Do not do what you're supposed to do, and you are disobedient. Do this and live, do not do this and die. But what the law never said is, if you do what you're not supposed to, here is how you fix it. Here is how you become justified, or you find yourself standing back in righteous with God. So they were lost. What they were searching for, they were searching in the wrong place. Where they were trying to arrive, they were never going to arrive because they were going in the wrong direction. They were going in the opposite direction of where they were supposed to go. You see, one example of this that proves this is the fact that they did not understand that Isaiah 53 was indeed speaking about their Messiah. Turn with me to Matthew. And I'm going to ask you to use your little ribbon there and leave it there in Romans 10. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. You know, we speak a lot about Simon Peter and his great confession, realizing and accepting that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And we always speak about how here Jesus professes that upon the truth that Peter had spoken, the church would be established. But pay attention to what happens in verses 21 and forward. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Peter, you just understood that I'm the Son of the living God. And you just understood that I am indeed the Messiah. How do you not understand that I have to die as the Messiah? How do you not understand that if I do not die, this confession that you just gave will become useless? Notice Jesus' response. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Peter was directionless. Peter was lost. He had a notion. He obtained one valuable truth, but he was still missing the rest of that truth. You see, to have an idea where we're going isn't the same as knowing where we're going. And we have to understand that. We have to realize that when we have a notion, because I faintly or vaguely remember this, it is not the same as knowing the road that we're on, because I know where I'm driving, I know where I'm headed, because I've traveled this, and it is the same one that is on my map. Peter understood that Jesus was their Christ. Peter understood that he was that had been the one that had been prophesied. But notice what Peter did not understand. And it was because during that time, the Jews did not teach this. The rabbis and the scribes, they did not teach this, that their warrior king would conquer death by dying. When Jesus tells him that he was not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men, Peter was defending the throne of David here on earth. Peter was defending and saying, "Jesus, no, according to what we've been taught and according to what we've been told, you are never going to die. The throne of David will return Israel to its glorious days." He wasn't understanding that the prophecies were always spiritual in nature. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 4, as we've already read, this was still the problem. They were not understanding. They were being ignorant, as the Apostle Paul says, of the righteousness of God. Peter, at that point in time, was being ignorant of the righteousness of God. He was driving without knowing where he was going. Thus, the first thing that we see Paul do is that he points out, you're lost. You're driving without direction. But secondly, the next thing that Peter does, that Paul does here in Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 14 and going into verse 17, notice that he demonstrates and he expresses, but you still have time to turn around. It isn't too late to get back on the right track. Right now, you may be lost, but you don't have to stay in that condition of being lost. Notice that you can ask for directions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Pay attention to that. Verse 14 and verse 15 tells us, ask for directions. But ask directions of someone who knows where you're trying to get. Ask someone who can tell you, who knows these roads, who knows the location you're talking about, who can guide you and give you the right path that leads to where you're looking for. You know, I don't know if these younger kids remember, but I remember back then those orange maps, the key maps. Do you remember those? If we didn't have one, where would we go? We would go to the gas station. And we would many times search for one of those key maps. And if we could not find one then because they were sold out, what would we do then? We'd ask the person at the gas station. We ask them and tell them, hey, do you know how to get to this place? Many times the person at the gas station would know and tell us. But a little trick that I learned when I used to work as a safety inspector for a trucking company, I would go to truck gas stations where they sell diesel, and I would look for truckers. Because they know the roads many times better than the gas station people themselves. But I wouldn't go to a tourist like myself. Or I wouldn't go to someone who only knew the one route that took them home and nothing else. I would go to those who knew the roads. Not only those who knew the roads, but those who could explain it well to me how to get there. They give me names of roads. They give me markers, identifying markers. You're going to drive for this many miles, and then you're going to see this historic building on your right. If you see this building, you've gone too far. We have to look and ask directions from those who know the road that goes to heaven. You see, many times when we read this passage, we don't realize that the Bible is the map. But not everybody knows how to read a map. We have to be able to find someone who does. Someone who is using it. Someone who could explain to me how to use it for myself. Thomas, in John chapter 14, he thought that he knew where he was going. But notice in John chapter 14 how Jesus had to declare to him that he did not yet know the way. John chapter 14, beginning there at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now notice, Thomas, he responds. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I think one of the best responses we can get when we're lost is for someone who knows the roads to tell us, oh yeah, I know where I'm getting you. I'm headed that direction. Just follow me and I'll make sure you get there. Jesus knows the way. He knows the way to the Father. He knows the way to eternal life. He knows the way to the truth. But we have to follow him. We can find Jesus even though we're lost. We can find him no matter where we're lost. He can always be found. He wants to be found. And when we find him, he wants us to ask for directions. Lord, I am lost without you. Lord, I need your direction. Will you guide me? And Christ is always ready to say, follow me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You can't get there unless I lead you. You're not going to find unless you follow my lead. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul brings that up. And pay attention how he redirects the directionless first by telling them, you're lost. But secondly, you can be found. You can find a way back. You can turn around. But what if that person continues to insist? No, I know my route will lead there. I've done this route many times. I remember that pine tree right there. You know there's other pine trees around it, right? But I know where I'm going. I don't need help. I don't need directions. If that person continues to drive on, are they still going to find the way if they're driving away from it? No. But are they lost because no one ever showed them? Are they lost because God did not provide a map that leads the way? No. then why are they still lost? Well, because they choose to insist on doing it their way, on driving their route. Now go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Hey, if your loss still is because you want to continue to insist that this road is going to lead you, even though you're being told you're lost, you've had enough time. And if you end up missing the mark, and if you end up remaining lost, and the further you continue to drive, the further out you go, and the more lost you get, to a point where you don't even remember what way is back home. But it isn't because no one tried to teach you the way. It isn't because no one told you that you are not that you are lost. It's because you insist that you're not lost and you refuse to follow the directions that will get you to your destination. So many souls are being lost today. How many men and women are dying lost? Because they refuse to accept directions. Because they insist that their path, that their road will also lead to heaven. Friend, did you pay attention to what Jesus said in regards to himself? He didn't say, I am one of the ways. He didn't say, I am one of the routes that can get you there. You see, Muhammad is not going to get you to heaven. The Pope is not going to get you to heaven. Confucius, well, he's confused, so he's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, the truth. If we choose not to follow Jesus, the Son of God, the propitiation for our sins, the Lamb of God who was sent to remove the sins of the world, we will continue lost in our path. We will continue to be directionless without knowing where we are going. And that path does not have a good end. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Notice what danger it is in us trying to follow our own path and trying to make it work even though we are lost and we know that it is not leading anywhere. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If that way seems right to you, but it is not the path that you know is right, it will lead to death. No one comes to the Father but through me, said Jesus Christ. If we don't follow Jesus, if we don't stick close to Him so that we won't lose sight of Him or that we won't get stranded, that path ends in death. And thus in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul was trying to redirect the directionless by pointing them towards the righteousness of God. He was trying to redirect their focus from Moses to Jesus, from Judaism to Christianity, from the law to grace. But even though they could see that the route did indeed lead, they had to follow it. They had to get on it. Well, it seems to me that this one gets there too. There's a path that seems, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is death. Would you like to risk it just because it seems that it can get you there? Or would you rather get on the road that is right? The road that guarantees to get you there. Why risk being lost and remaining lost forever? Thus, as we read and study Romans chapter 10, notice that the Apostle Paul is trying to redirect the directionless. He's already lamented in both chapter 9 and in chapter 10 about the condition of his kinsmen. But now in chapter 10, he's trying to do something about it. He's trying to help them by letting them know you're lost. By telling them you still have time to get back on the right path. But then by warning them, if you continue down this path, it's not going to end well for you. Doesn't matter how much you want this path to lead to life, it's going to lead to death. So turn around. Turn around and make a U-turn. Turn away from that sinful lifestyle. And now turn toward Christ Jesus. See, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what he was saying when he spoke. And he said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Carry his cross daily. And follow me. Admitting that you're lost is denying yourself. Admitting and accepting, yeah, I am lost. I need directions, is denying yourself. Insisting that you're right and everyone else is wrong is not denying yourself. But then you have to take up your cross daily. You have to be willing to swallow your pride. You have to be willing to be humble and ask for help. Lord, be merciful of me, for I am a sinner. But then you have to act upon it. You have to follow him. You and I, we have to follow him. And then, and only then, will we have direction. Will we have a goal that we can clearly see, will we then be on the right path that leads to life everlasting? Friend, perhaps this morning you are among us and you're realizing that you are living your life without purpose. You right now, without God, find yourself in the vanity of vanities. Right now, you are like the leaf in the wind that has no direction and is just blowing everywhere it can. You're searching. You're searching for that road that leads to Jesus. You're searching for that road that leads to the Father. You're searching for that road that leads to the Spirit. You're searching because you know and understand that only that one narrow path is the one that leads to life. This morning, Christ tells you, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. But pay attention to the warning. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus in John chapter 10 also said, I am the door. We have to all go through Christ. Because the end of the law is Jesus. You see, the law was pointing toward Jesus, but Jesus was going to give us justification. And by giving us justification, he leads us into life everlasting. You, friend, without Jesus, are lost. You are going to continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper into a lost route that will end in death, lest you choose to stop going that route, turn around, and let Jesus direct you on the right path. The way that begins is by putting on Christ in baptism. denying yourself by saying, I am a sinner who needs the remission of sins. And then by carrying your cross, by rising to a newness of life in which you commit your life to live a life of righteousness, to be an instrument of righteousness until death. But the end result will be worth it. The end result, the end of that road ends in life, not death. And Christ says he has life to give abundantly. Thus, if this morning you are lost and you want to be found by Christ Jesus, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.